So everybody's warm and happy. So we're going to have our second half. Now we have a dynamic Canadian performer. This is Heather Taylor. Heather does basically everything. She runs the country. She's in charge of your dreams. She's in charge of the weather and growth of all things. She's also a fantastic performer. She's a poet. She's a playwright.
Screenwriter.
What Heather doesn't do isn't worth doing. And she also does it very fast and brilliantly. I just know I'm not Heather. I think Heather's got a whole load of other Heathers at home. Because she's also got a beautifully decorated home, which is gorgeous. So she's the most wonderful human being ever in the world. Anyway, so Heather, you're going to have to live up to that now. It's so cruel. So a huge round of applause for the lovely, versatile, and just brilliant in every way, Heather Taylor.
So I'm going to do a few poems for you, and then I thought I'd do a story that has never been told before, so you'd be the first audience for this story. So I'll start with this piece that I wrote many, many moons ago, about last April, and it basically was one of the 30 days, so writing a poem one a day, and this one was called Moving West. It's the first treasured find that gives you over to love. A fool that is made to make that hasty transatlantic move and create a new life. Pierce through the void however you can, like a knock-em-down three-stack can. Gotta look, gotta see, gotta find the feeling that finally pierces, gives your heart over to love. Yet you sit there, wait for his move, the one that you wanted to make, and still wait to make, as he saunters to his tin can of a car, signaling his move, the one you were afraid to find. It's tricky, this thing called love. Tony, Brad, George, Philip Pierce, a carousel of names, arrows pierce or pass by. Fluttering eyes make love. Should you? Can you give in to the find, another night to pawn move that transports, moves you westward? The sun piercing eyes with blue, hotter than you'd find any of the places you make home. This is a story of can, of finding love. Will you do it, my love? Will you follow the move of the motorway? Can you give me a piece of you to pierce? Give way to make you my only find. Our agendas met. Find love. Make move. Pierce souls as softly as you can. And this is one from a new collection that I've been working on and then not working on and working on again. And it's called Bee Hospital, which I thought would be quite appropriate for today since there's tons of bees in the garden. So I thought I'd do this one specifically for today. So Bee Hospital. My only patient, Lizzie, found broken-winged and limping. A Clark's shoebox with hospital in thick black letters, Mom's bag of cotton wool, give me, Mr. B a bed faster than any casualty unit. Lizzie watches as I attempt one finger CPR until, waking like Gulliver in Brobdingnag, he stings me. Box dropped, Lizzie stomps our B hospital flat while I nurse my finger. It's only better when she brushes it against her lips, our first kiss. This one's from a new collection that just came out in November called, what is it called? Sick Day Afternoons. When I look in the cover, it's in Serbian, so actually I was like, well, I don't really know what it is. Sick Day Afternoons, and it was published in Serbia, so it's in English and Serbian. So it's quite exciting. I don't understand what the Serbian says, but I know at least it has it in English. So this is called Swimming Pond. The sign read, "No swimmers after 7. But to her, the letters formed unknown combinations she never learned how to decipher, even 10 years after immigration papers called here home. Like math, the breaststroke, front crawl, butterfly, surpass invisible walls built by language. When the lifeguard shines her light, commands her to shore, her strokes are long to match her heartbeat. A dolphin skimming the surface, the green-colored pond, her blue ocean. And the story. This is a little bit of a fairy tale that I've created. In the middle of desert plains, the man met his love, a woman of extraordinary beauty and poise. She hadn't seen a man such as him, and her heart felt alive for the first time. She could barely breathe at the sight of him, and they both knew that they must be together forever. But this man was one of war, as many men have had to be and will continue to be, and one day he was told to march. She grew afraid for him, and he worried more that her heart would wander without him by her side. As the day approached for him to leave, he grew more and more resentful of her beauty, and nothing she said could convince him that she would always be his. Afraid that he would be hurt if he left of these thoughts plaguing him, she went to a woman in the village that all called witch. The witch listened to the woman's fears, but warned her that her man should not worry if their love was really true. But the woman was insistent that there must be something that could show she would always be his. Sighing, the witch pulled out a small gold lock and key from the folds of her cloak. Making a small incision into the woman's chest, the witch placed the lock into her heart. Turning the key, she locked it and gave it to the woman. Once given to the one she loved, the woman would love nothing until he returned to unlock her heart. The woman had felt a twinge, but still thought she felt the same as before and just thanked the witch. She offered her money in thanks, but the witch refused, warning her nothing good would become of this. The woman ran home and told the man what she had done and presented him with the gold key. Though shocked that she had gone to the witch, he was secretly happy that she would show her love for him in this way. His own heart at ease, the man slipped the key around his neck and kissed her goodbye. As the days and weeks and months passed, the woman pined for the man, but at the same time, she found her love for her favorite things had gone. Her family thought she was only upset about the man gone off to war, but the woman realized she wasn't sad, but indifferent. Her mothers and sisters tried to tempt her with the finest chocolates, ribbons, and bouquets of her favorite field flowers, but nothing reached her heart. It was locked, frozen. As the world moved around her, she grew slower and slower, preferring her own company, and spent her days at the window watching the road for her love. When family grew worried, the woman's beauty began to fade from her face, her hair grew limp, and her clothes began to fall from her body. Her sisters would feed her what food they could, cutting meat and cheese into tiny pieces to slip between her lips, but still the woman would grow thinner and thinner. Her mother tried to brush her hair and wash her limbs with a cloth to keep her clean, but the woman would only send her away so she could be alone. The only person she wanted in her company was the man. One day, after her dress had slipped from her shoulders, the woman's mother noticed the incision by her heart. In its center was a lock that seemed rusted and the skin was slowly growing over. The mother recognized magic at play and sent for the witch. The old woman arrived and barely recognized the woman who had visited her all those weeks and months before. She inspected the lock, but when the mother asked for her help, all she could do was shake her head. There was nothing to be done. The only person who could free her was the one who held the key, the man. Now, it had been months since they had last heard from the man, and the village had grown worried that he had been captured or killed. Unknown to them, he had been injured and was being cared for by a woodcutter and his daughter. In his fevered and amnesic state, the man had promised the woodcutter that he would marry the daughter in return for saving his life. As he grew more lucid, the man began to have snatches of memory of a beautiful girl, a woman beyond his dreams. But without anyone to tell him of who she could be, he began to think less of her, until the woodcutter's daughter became the only woman he thought of. Their wedding day arrived, and his soon-to-be bride snuck into the man's room. She had a gift for him. It was a small gold key that she had found around his neck. She had polished it and gave it back to him as a symbol that she would always be his. But as soon as the man saw the key, the memories of his love came flooding back. Running from the house to the stable, the man jumped on the nearest horse and began to ride, leaving the tears of the woodcutter's daughter behind him. as he reached the house where his true love lived. The man found it shrouded in mourning, and a long trail of men and women in black were winding their way in. Pushing past the lines of people, the man came into the main room of the house. On a bed of flowers was a woman who looked shriveled and drawn, and was surrounded by the mother and sisters of his love. As he moved closer, he realized that it was her, the woman who locked her heart to all those but him. Reaching for the key around his neck, the man pulled back her gown and saw the lock, barely visible in the scar that he had left. With all his might, he pushed the key into the woman's chest and turned. For a moment, nothing happened. The man was too late. But slowly, a glow spread from her heart, and her beauty began to spread back through her body until she awoke and smiled at those gathered around her. The man carefully took her into his arms and promised he would never leave again and would forever trust that her heart would always be one with his. Thank you very much.